الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون صدق الله مولانا العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما نقصت صدقة من مال رواه ابن خزيمة أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Friends and elders, while we live in this world, Allah Rabbul Izzah has made this world a place of mediums and means. For our existence, we continue to explore various avenues to attain a livelihood, to take care of our basic needs. And beyond that, we are able to even amass and attain wealth. And after we've attained that wealth becomes a test for us as to how do we conduct ourselves with that wealth. We are given the wealth by Allah Rabbul Izzah, and immediately after that, we are called upon to see how do we conduct ourselves. While Allah reminds us who does the wealth belong to. Allah Rabbul Izzah says, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ Who are the believers? They are those who believe in the unseen. They establish salah. They give their zakah. And from the wealth that we have given them, they spend from that. So we attain wealth, and then we need to part with the wealth immediately. And that is the test, and that is the challenge for us in this world. And it is for that reason that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَالصَّدَقَةُ بُرْهَانٌ Charity is a proof. A proof of what? A proof of the strength of your iman and your faith. That you're willing to part with that which is beloved to you. Wealth necessarily is not bad. Allah Rabbul Izzah refers to it, وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٌ إِن تَرَكَ خَيْرٌ Allah Rabbul Izzah in various verses refers to wealth as something good, al-khayr. So it's not necessarily bad, but how we conduct ourselves with it, that is the challenge. And in terms of parting with our wealth for a noble cause, giving it in charity, there are numerous verses in the noble Quran. الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ سِرًّا وَعَلَانِيَةً Allah Rabbul Izzah speaks glowingly in various verses about the reward of giving charity. That something small that is given, Allah will continue to grow it, and when you see the reward in the year after, it will be huge like a mountain. And we're fully aware of the rewards that we attain for giving charity. The topic of the virtues of parting with your wealth, the ulama generally elaborate and focus on that when there's a need to build a masjid or to donate to an Islamic organization. Or maybe there's a particular cause which overseas or locally where people have been affected by some floods or some natural catastrophe, an earthquake or this or that or that. And we are then exhorted to donate our money. And so what tends to happen at times is that we then find excuses and we say, but what difference will my money make? Or the money is not going to the right avenue. Or, you know, these people are not using the money well. We have lots of excuses. Like there was a CEO of a local charity, and it wasn't Al Imdad. And he called up a very wealthy man, and he phoned him and he said, you know, our research has shown that you've earned 5 million rand for the last year, and you haven't made any donation to your local charity. Wouldn't you like to donate to your local charity? So the person from the charity organization is speaking to the wealthy man on the phone. So the wealthy man, the CEO, responds and he says, interesting, so you did your research. Did your research show that I have a mother who's ill with high hospital bills and she's still in hospital? So the person from the charity organization gets a shock. He says, he says, no, I didn't. He says, did your research show that I have a blind brother and a sister whose husband passed away, leaving her Johnny broke? And now he's caught totally off guard. He says, no, not at all. And then this wealthy man says, I didn't give them anything. What makes you think I'll give you? So when it's time to give and we don't want to give, then we have lots of excuses. And we know the virtue of giving. Today, I would not like to talk about the virtue of giving. But for your own benefit, there's some joy, there's some fulfillment, and there's some gain that you will get by being generous with your wealth. On your own individual level. Leave alone the reward that you will attain in the Akhirah. That is what will come, and we have belief in that. But while you live in this world, there's certain benefits that you will attain and receive and enjoy as the result of being generous with your wealth. The first is, the hadith says, وَمَا أَنْفَقْتُم مِّن شَيْءٍ فَهُوَ يُخْلِفُ. Allah Rabbul Izzah says in the verse of the Noble Quran, that whatever you spend, we will give you more. مَا نَقَصَتْ صَدَقَةٌ مِّن مَالٍ. Charity does not diminish your wealth. When you do the maths outwardly, and a person has 1,000 rand, and he decides to give 500 rand away in charity, then naturally, you'd think to yourself that the wealth has diminished. I had so much, now half has been given away, half is remains, my wealth has diminished. But the hadith tells us that when you give charity, when you part with your wealth for good cause, then it doesn't diminish, in fact it increases. And many people will tell you that after I gave this charity, there was certain barakah that came, a certain deal, something came from an unexpected source. Many would bear witness to that. So outwardly, when you do the maths, it seems as though it became less, but eventually you'll get more. If you look at Sayyidina Uthman, at every juncture, when the Muslimin came to Madinatul Munawwara, he spent almost 20,000 dirhams on buying the well. Then he expanded the masjid. At the time of Tabuk, he sponsored 1/3 of the army, 1,000 camels, 100 horses, this and that and that. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went on the minbar and said, it doesn't matter what does Sayyidina Uthman do after today. There was a time during the Khilafah of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, and Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when there was drought and there was famine, people were afflicted, and eventually in that condition, his caravan of 100 camels came into the city, and everybody was now waiting for some relief, and everybody was looking very anxiously. And all the businessmen came to his home and said that, we're going to offer you for every 10, we'll give you 12. So that was the profit margin. And he looked at them and he said, no, I don't want it. I want more. And they increased. And he said, no, I want more. Then they turned to him and said, but we are all the businessmen of Madinatul Munawwara. And if we don't offer you more, then where will you get more? And he said, man ja'a bil hasanati falahu ashra amthaliha. Allah Rabbul Izzah says, for one, I will give you 10-fold up to 700-fold. I'm giving you all of this free for the sake of Allah. The more he gave, he always had. I ask you that, have you heard of any person who, because of his generosity and because of his charity, he became poor? There is no person like that. The more we give, the more we get. And that is why it is mentioned in the hadith that every day that we wake up, there's two angels that accompany us. And the one angel makes the dua, Allahumma a'ti munfiqan khalafa. O Allah, give the one who spends a recompense, increase his wealth. And the other angel says, Allahumma a'ti mumsikan talafa. O Allah, the one who holds back, who's miserly, then destroy his wealth. Allah Rabbul Izzah himself says in the hadith, Yabna Adam anfiq unfiq alayh. That, O son of Adam, you spend, and I will spend of you on you. Yameenullahi mal'a. Allah's treasures are limitless. What He has spent from the beginning of the creation of this world till now has not diminished His treasures to any extent. So we should have confidence that the more we spend, the more Allah will give us. In fact, وَمَنْ قُدِرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقُ فَلْيُنْفِقْ مِمَّا آتَاهُ اللَّهِ. That this is an amazing concept where when your sustenance becomes constrained and you think things are tight, that is when you spend more in charity, and the Quranic verse says that Allah will give you more. And this is something that only a person with belief and conviction in the Akhirah will practice upon. And when you practice on something with belief, that is when you see the benefit. So the first benefit of charity is that the more you give, the more Allah will grant you and give you. The second benefit is as-sadaqatu tudfi'ul bala. Charity repels, generosity repels difficulty. It may have been that a certain calamity was written to befall you. It was written down, predestined for you. But as a result of charity, that becomes alleviated. It gets moved away, gets repelled. There's an incident where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting with his sahaba. And a Jewish man came by and he greeted, Assalamu alaik. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded by, Wa alaik. And then the sahaba said, O Nabi of Allah, do you not realize how he greeted you? He said, Assalamu alaik. Now this in the Hebrew language meant, my death comes upon you. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I responded by saying, that's why I respond by, may the same be to you, in a similar manner. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this man here will be bitten by a black snake that will bite him on his nape. The person continued, and in fact he went to the wood and he started chopping, he went to the forest and he started chopping wood. And as he was returning, he happened to pass by the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as he was coming by, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his compassion stopped him and told him that offload your burden. Put down what you're carrying. So they put it down. When they put it down, they opened up. There was a black snake inside. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned to him and asked him, Ma amilta al-yaw? What did you do today? And he says, all I did was I went and I chopped the wood and I came here. Except that while I was going to chop the wood, I had two pieces of bread with me. So I ate the one piece of bread and the other piece I gave it in charity. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Bihada, with that charity you are now saved. Because of the charity that you had given, that one piece of bread that you had given out to a poor person, you were saved. That snake could have potentially bitten you, but as the result of your charity, now you've been saved from that. We're living in a situation, in a country, which is volatile in terms of crime, in terms of, you know, the risk with traveling on the roads, with all the various challenges. So when you are undertaking any major journey, every morning, make it a habit of giving charity. One thing is, where you give charity, you know, by the way, I have a few loose coins in my pocket, let me give it to someone. But the other is to make it your standpoint in your life that every day at a particular time, I will ensure that I have money with me to give in charity. And that will repel the difficulty, the bala, as-sadaqatu tudfi'ul bala. That as-sadaqatu tudfi'u ghadab al-rab, it extinguishes the anger of your Rabb. That by you continuously at various juncture, making a concerted effort to make sure that I have small money with me, that I go to the bank and I ensure that I have that, and that we don't consider it as a burden to give, and that we give to anyone that we feel that could benefit. Mufti Taqi Uthmani Saab, Damat Barakatuh, one of the greatest muftis that continue to live in this world, he narrates a story of his own father, Mufti Muhammad Shafi rahimahumullah, who was the Grand Mufti of Pakistan after the formation of the country. And he says that he was traveling with his father and some of his brothers in Lahore. And they come to a particular point where there were some beggars who were asking for money. Now, the father is sitting with his sons, and as we should also learn that you teach your children generosity and charity from a young age. You give them the wealth to give out so that they also learn this quality. So the father tells the sons, give the man something. So they're looking for the money and it's dark. There isn't that amount of lighting in the country at that time. So they're struggling to find a few pennies. So they look, and then they say, but we can't find the money. And it's not even, this person's not worthy. They just beg all the time. They're not worthy of being given money. And at that point, Mufti Shafi stops him and says, imagine Allah had to use the same criteria for us. Say that you are not worthy, that's why I will not give you. Allah gives us despite we not being worthy, so why should we then use that as a criteria for others? Allah gives us despite we not being worthy, why should we use worthiness to give others? When what, there's no person who can say confidently that I was worthy of being given the gift of Iman, that's why Allah gave it to me. It was merely Allah's favor. And like that, with every bounty, which is layered by various bounties, there is no person who can say, this is what I deserved and that's why it was given to me. Everything is through the sheer grace of Allah Rabbul Izzah. And that is why we need to value it and appreciate it and consider that whatever Allah Rabbul Izzah gives us, it is through His sheer mercy. So when you give, the benefit that comes to you is that there may have been something that was destined to afflict you, and as a result of that giving, it gets repelled. So the first benefit of giving charity that you will experience is your wealth continues to increase. And the second benefit is difficulty, hardship is alleviated. In this world, Allah Rabbul Izzah says, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدْ, that we have created man to toil. As long as you live in this world, there will be various challenges that you will definitely experience at various junctures. There is no person who can stand up and say, everything that has happened in my life up until today is exactly as I planned it. Even if you are the president of the greatest country of the world or the king of a powerful empire, then too there will be things that you will dislike, things that will be unpalatable for you, things that you don't want must happen, but it just happens. And the way to assist you and help you with dealing with that is to give charity. The third benefit that you will experience of giving charity and being generous with your wealth in this world is, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Dawu marzakum bis sadaqah. Treat your sick with charity. Meaning that if you, someone has a sickness or you have a sickness, one of the ways of treating that sickness is to give charity, to be generous with your wealth. And not necessarily only to the poor. When we talk of charity and we talk of generosity, it means to all types of people. وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا. Allah Rabbul Izzah talks about in the verse of the Noble Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى. To give to your family members. Allah doesn't say what. To give them their rights monetarily, to give of yourself, to be generous to them. That is all part of what entails joining family ties. And like that, the various other responsibilities. So one of the ways that you can treat your own sicknesses or the sickness of people in your family, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Dawu marzakum bi sadaqah." Treat the sick by giving charity. And there's an amazing story in Targhib wa Tarhib where Imam Bayhaqi rahimahullah has spoken of his ustad Imam Hakim, who has compiled the book Al-Mustadrak al-Sahihain, which is a compilation with hadiths of very high caliber that fit the caliber of being in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih al-Muslim. And he has mentioned, Imam Bayhaqi, that his ustad al-Hakim had some pimples on his face. And he tried for an entire year to treat the pimples, but nothing was happening. Maybe it was us and 1 year and nothing's happening. What do we say? Someone must have put jadu. You first go to the doctor, then to the physician, then the specialist, then the herbalist, then the hakim. Then it's jadu, definitely. So he was looking at various avenues to treat his sickness. And it perturbed the student, Imam Bayhaqi. So he attended the weekly gathering of Abu Uthman al-Sabuni rahimahullah. And in the gathering, which was a weekly majlis on a Thursday night, he mentioned that, you know, my ustad al-Hakim has these pimples on his face and he's been taking treatment for an entire year now. But nothing has happened. Nothing is happening. He's not getting better. We put a bite. So Abu Uthman, who was hosting the gathering, the majlis, he made dua and he asked everyone present, make dua for this great muhaddith, this great scholar of deen. And everyone collectively made dua and exerted themselves in making dua for the cure of the great scholar. And the gathering broke up. And everybody went home and a week passed by. And the next week the gathering had already again begun and the regular attendees were there. And while they were sitting down, Imam Bayhaqi was again there. And there was a lady who was behind the parda, she had written a small note. And she sent it to the front. And she says that, last week when I was in the gathering, I heard about the pitiable condition of Imam al-Hakim. And that really made me sad. And I went home and I made dua and I beseeched Allah. And I really turned with all my strength to Allah, asking Him to cure Imam Al-Hakim. And she says that in that condition, I slept away at night. And in my sleep, I seen Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in a dream. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told me to tell him that he should make water available. He should make water available for the people. And this was read out. And then Abu Uthman then tells Imam Bayhaqi that go to Al-Hakim and tell him that he should at the door of his house make water available. Erect a tank, a reservoir, put ice in it and let it be refreshing water that people will appreciate and enjoy. So Imam Al-Hakim did this, and within 1 week there was already signs of improvement. And he says, few weeks later, his skin was completely cured. His skin was completely cured as a result of the charity that he had given, the generosity that he displayed. So this is one of the avenues that perhaps we don't explore with sincerity, by giving charity with the intention of letting it be a means of cure for us. And in doing that, we will then attain the benefit. Sometimes we have this false notion that, you know, charity, generosity are for the rich people. That if I had, I would give. But that shouldn't be the case. You don't have to be wealthy to be generous. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was passing by the Mount Uhud, and he turned to the mountain and said, Abu Zar was with him, and he said, Ma yasurru anna li Uhudun dhahaban yamdhi alayya thalathatun wa indi dinarun illa shay'un ursidu lidayni. He says that I would not like that I had this entire mountain of Uhud in gold, and that 3 days passed me by without me spending all this, except something that I keep back for my debt. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't have that wealth, but it was an intrinsic quality that if he had it, he would have spent it. And that was supported by his action, where there was a Safwan bin Umayyah, who had not yet accepted Islam, and he came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he asked, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave him wealth, and he asked, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave him. And then he went to his people and he said, Oh my people, believe in such a messenger who gives to such an extent, and it gave him such wealth, so many goats and sheep that it filled between two mountains, the entire valley was filled with it. He said, believe in such a messenger who gives wealth in such a way that he doesn't fear poverty. He doesn't fear poverty at all. And one of the poets had compiled with regards to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying, مَا قَالَ لَا إِلَّا فِي تَشَهُدِهِ. He never said la, no, except in tashahud, when you have to say, there is no deity except Allah. Otherwise, you could have taken his vocab and changed the word no into yes. Meaning whenever anyone asked him of anything, he always gave it. He always succumbed to their request and allowed them and gave it to them. That was the level of generosity that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam possessed. And that was the legacy that continued. And sometimes we get caught up that, you know, we'll only give where we will get some mileage, where we'll get prominence. What will I get back? Maybe I must be acknowledged. People must know who's running the, who's calling the shots, or who's supporting the organization. Then only I will give. It is said with regards to Zainul Abideen rahimahumullah, the great grandson of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that when they were making his janazah, they saw marks on his back. And they couldn't figure it out that here's the grandson or the great-grandson of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He never did manual labor. So how can this marks be? This is someone who does manual labor, who carries things around. And it was subsequent to that that they figured out that there were more than 80 families in Medina who used to get a certain provision put at their door in the dead of the night, and nobody knew who used to give it to them. The recipient never knew who it came from. Only when Imam Zainul Abideen had passed away, that they came to know that since the great-grandson of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away, now we're not getting it anymore. That is perhaps an indication that he was the one who was giving it. So we should give with sincerity, and that is what will bring the joy. You know, there are people across the globe that with the different types of food that we eat and the very, you know, busy lives that we have and the great demands, increasingly we find people feel this lull within them, emptiness, void. People are asking, so is this life? But I don't find the joy and I don't find the fulfillment. There must be more to life. And one of the things that will give you that fulfillment in life is when you give sincerely without strings attached. When you give to others sincerely, that you give so much that it gives you joy. And once it gives you joy, then you know you are giving truly for the sake of Allah. Our problem often is that, you know, we wait for something to be right at the last moment when it's unusable. So the food in the fridge, only when it's on the verge of getting bad, then we'll give it to the domestic. Or the clothing that we have, we'll wait till it's almost unusable, then we'll give it away. Like there was a lady who was busy in a cupboard the entire day, taking out clothing and putting it in a bag. And the husband came back and the husband asked her, "What are you doing?" So she said, "No, I've gathered some clothing that I'd like to give away to charity. Can you go to this drop-off point where they're collecting?" So the husband was tired after the whole day at work. And he says, "No, man, don't bother to give it there. It'll be easier, just throw it away." So she turns around and she says, "No, but there are many starving people in the world who can use this clothing." So the husband looks at the wife and says, "Darling, if they can fit in this clothing, then they're surely not starving." So that is our, you know, our mindset, that we wait till something is totally unusable or on the verge of being unusable, and then we want to give it away. Or we think that it has to be something significant. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the one dirham has passed 100 or 100,000 dirhams. And the sahaba asked, "How can one dirham pass 100,000? And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "The man who had one dirham, he only possessed two. So when he gave one away, he then gave 50% of his wealth. The one who gave 1,000, he had abundance of wealth. So he gave one, or he gave 1,000, it wasn't even a percentage of his wealth." So my dear brothers, we work to earn a living. We live in this world and we work to earn, or we earn so that we can live in this world, but we will truly make a life for ourselves by what we send ahead. And one needs to give to the extent that it starts giving you joy. And when you give to that extent, that is when you will really feel the fulfillment that you will experience in this world as a result of your generosity and your charity. May Allah make us from those whom these qualities are natural to us.